Hey, everybody, and welcome to the 37th episode of the fourth season of the award-winning Press X to Start podcast. Press X is a weekly gaming podcast about inclusivity and its place in gaming. Games for everyone, and we here at Press X hope to break down the walls of exclusivity with our discussions on news, reviews, and all things video games. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wishnigawood, California, a.k.a. the janitor because of the Washniggas, a.k.a. Swagatha Christie.
Yeah!
Oh.
Ah. You're a dumbass.
Marcus Ellison.
I am Sean M.F. Ross.
What the MF stand for?
Meticulous face.
Oh, you do have a meticulous face. Or a mischievous face.
Whoa.
You're one of them darkies.
He's darker actually, than me.
Yeah.
I said what I said. I have re-vitiligo.
So trustworthiness, the complexion, there's a correlation. Is that what you're trying to say? That's terrible.
Yes.
I mean, obviously.
Who is that?
It's your boy, Jordan, a.k.a. JXBot.
And it is me, DJ, a.k.a. the nose on the mic, a.k.a.
Sir, can you please remove your nose from the mic?
I mean, sir. You might be able to hear me breathe, but, you know.
I turn away from the mic to breathe.
A.k.a. the ASMR master. Ugh. A.k.a. did you know?
What?
That apparently, Travis Scott has a PS5, guys.
It's lit!
I'm not surprised.
Well, he also has a McDonald's meal named after him.
You know what I'm here for.
Cactus Jack sent me.
More importantly, he has leather black pants. What does that say about his personality, guys?
His balls are musty!
Oh my God.
He might be Jamaican.
Oh. Yeah, probably.
You have a point.
Or a professional wrestler. Or both.
A Jamaican professional wrestler who can rap and has PS5.
Kofi Kingston!
Kofi Kingston was a great wrestler.
Oh my gosh.
It's still real to me, damn it! Enough of that, though.
Yeah, so now that we've all been introduced, we're going to go into what we've been playing. And to start us off, DJ, what you been playing?
Hades. Oh, I'm sorry. Hades.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've been playing Hades, guy. It's a great game. It's for the Switch. Play it.
What is it about, you sucker?
If you haven't heard, Hades is another term for the underworld.
Oh.
Hell. And Hades is about the Prince of Hell trying to escape hell. And it is a roguelike game where...
Ugh, you lost me already.
Wow, okay.
Actually, I heard this is a game for people... who don't normally like roguelikes, they like this one, so.
Yes.
DJ Hades.
Sean is.
That's Greek mythology, right? So it's not necessarily hell. He's the prince of hell, but it's in Greek mythology.
Wait, I thought that was Christian mythology.
Nope. No one in Christianity calls hell Hades.
And you're fighting furies.
Wait, what did I read then?
The DJ, you read?
I need to go.
You read
need...
something?
Well, obviously I did it wrong.
Because I'm like, the prince of hell. I'm like, what? All right, keep going.
Anyways. So, yes, this is a roguelike game where, actually, Marcus, you might really enjoy this game because you start from a, I don't know, place of quote-unquote power where you're not completely useless.
Mm-hmm.
You do pretty good damage against the enemies, and then you only build from that. So, there was another roguelike game that I was playing for the Switch. It was called Wizards something.
Wizards of Waverly Place?
I was going to say it.
You know, for half a second, I was like, oh, you know what I'm talking about. And then you just disappointed me. And then... But anyways, it is a roguelike. And the way that you get the skills is that the other gods see that... Oh, the main character's name is Zagoras. The other gods see that Zagoras is trying to get out of hell. So every time you start the trek up, one of the gods, it's picked randomly, will give you a gift. And it either be like a boon of some sort or something that will affect your health or like the kind of damage that you do to the enemies.
Or
and
a
it's,
bag of poop.
Oh my gosh, I haven't got that yet, but I wouldn't even know what to do with that. That'd be
You leave
terrible.
It on a doorstep.
But What I really like about this game is that it does this thing where, you know, it's a roguelike, so you have this hub that you just constantly go to, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way that they build out the story is that you're rewarded for talking to people multiple times. And as you talk to them, they kind of give you more backstory about the world and like what's going on. And they do a really cool thing where they actually talk about the last things that you did. So one of the characters that you first meet is Hypno. And I had just got beat by one of the Furies in the game, and they're like the boss people or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I got fucking washed. So I died. I went back to the hub and I talked to Hypno, and he was like, oh yeah, you just got a rinse by her. And I was like, how? Okay, one, fuck you. And two.
Hey, do they ever tell you that you got washed by the janitor?
Not yet, but I'm going to look for it though. But another thing that is at play with this game is, so the story, like, you find, do y'all know who Persephone is?
Yes. Yep. A woman.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah. So, one of the...
I dated that raggedy bitch. I'm just kidding.
So, one of the first reveals is that, like, you find out that Persephone is a part of the story, and she's actually a pivotal part of the story, and it's really cool because, like, I wasn't expecting that kind of story level to this, or that kind of like, oh no, there's actual things happening that like you should care about other than just progressing through the levels. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm having a really, really good time with it. And it's one of those things where I was very, very surprised, because like a lot of people was like, oh yeah, it's a really good game. It's a really good game. Oftentimes when that happened, kind of like, ah, it's fine. It's fine. But like, really enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Hey, what scores does it have?
Oh, true.
Does it have a 10 out of 10?
You know what? You know what? Because I am a...
Stop playing baby roguelike games. They get a real roguelike.
Oh, I see where this is going. Fuck you.
Well, before we get to what a real roguelike looks like, I just been playing Overwatch since I platinumed both the games that I wanted to platinum, and I've abandoned Marvel's Avengers like Cam has this podcast. I just play Overwatch now until Watch Dogs Legion comes out, and the only thing I've done in that is worthy of note is I've done all of my placement matches for the new comp season, and that's about it. So, yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
That seems wonderful.
Yeah, it's still fun.
So I've been playing more Spelunky, of course. I play this daily now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My wife watches me. The baby watches me. My wife laughs at me when I do stupid shit now because she actually understands the mechanics of the game. She's like, why are you not doing this? Why are you jumping on that? Why are you getting this? I don't know.
Why are you running?
Ooh, yeah. That's fun.
Why are you running? The game punishes you for silly mistakes, almost like a like a competitive fighter.
Yeah.
Or a disappointed parent.
Yeah, the game actively like throws just shit at you. I've been playing that, and then I still try to do like my daily challenges for Apex Legends. Like, I still be going on tiers every now and then and showing like moments of greatness.
How's that new character? The new character with the light machine, with the minigun.
So the new character, Rampart, she has a specialization with light machine guns. But she's pretty good for like end game and what have you. Mm-hmm. She's really good at holding down points. Like, if there's an open field, if the person knows how to use the light machine gun, it's your ass. I mean, you can zoom in and then they have the wall that she can throw up that'll amplify damage. But
ooh, nice.
Oh, so she's
I never
Baptiste.
Really have any issues with anybody. Yeah. But yeah, you could take out probably like five or six people with one clip on a minigun if you're good.
Real quick.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a minigun and a light machine gun?
Well, I thought a minigun had the chain, like it's like a
chain.
Yeah,
a minigun is normally like a rotating barrel that shoots, and it feeds.
Is that what she uses though?
She uses a minigun. So. Mm. Usually a minigun would be something that's mounted, stationary.
Okay.
Oh, I need to change my pre-order then.
But yeah, that's it for me. And I mean, I have clips that I will one day unload for like an entire week that I have tons and tons of clips stored on my PlayStation that I just have not got to yet.
Sean with the gun puns. I like it.
Hey. And last, what you been playing, Jordan?
I've been still navigating around the Game Pass. Like, it seems that this is still like a early version, not of the Game Pass itself, but of this new iteration of the service going into xCloud. There's a lot of content there, and I'm just trying to take my time and not overwhelm myself with all these games that I have available, like that being the new Destiny DLCs and stuff. And I'm just trying to get the rhythm of it and see how it fits into my schedule going into the fall. Like just playing on my cell phone or soon be playing on my computer, just trying to see like this new, more aggressive Microsoft ecosystem that they're trying to have us buy into. We'll probably get into that later. But in terms of specific games, I've been playing Carry On, which is available through Game Pass, and it's very fun. It's Metroid mixed with The Thing. You know, you are basically a monster alien. I mean, I you don't really know what you are. Like, there's a few flashback sequences that's trying to get you a better understanding of, like, you know, who you are. You're like this ancient, you know, species, or, you know, or you're from a different world, different dimension. As we don't know, but it is hilarious. Just how terrible you could be to, like, these scientists and military people. But I'm at that point to which the game's fighting back. The game's getting kind of crafty about, you know, its enemy types and, you know, their gimmicks. You know, Carry On hates fire. If you get lit on fire, you better find water as soon as possible. Or, like, that's the end of it. But, you know, when I was looking at the reviews of this game, a lot of the reviewers are complaining about there not being a map. And at the beginning, I was kind of apprehensive, you know, not having a map. But then going forward, I kind of knew, okay, if I had a map, and we played many of these Metroid type games in the past, and Metroid 2, I'd be beholden. Yeah, like I'd be beholden to the map and always checking it, always trying to see if I, you know, cleared this sector and that sector.
Yeah.
But this game's very organic, and not like, I think them not having a map is advantageous to the experience itself. Like, I am very honed in on where I am in relation to other areas, and like each area's theme, and like, you know, really expanding my mind in terms of how to solve certain puzzles. So right. Yeah, no, it's a very fun game.
Because you have to figure out where you are at all times.
Yeah,
you don't
have
a map to rely on. Yeah,
the best path is forward.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm at that point to which doubling back makes sense too. Like, doubling back is like, okay, there's a giant robot in there that it was made specifically to kill me. So I'm going to double back and see what I can get. So the other thing I've been playing is Mafia Deluxe Edition, which is...
I never played the first one.
A lot of people haven't. You know, it has like a bit of a cult following. So the first Mafia came out like, what, in 2005 or some shit on like the PS2. Yeah. And like throughout this whole year, you had like the Mafia 3 that came out, which was like the deluxe edition of the first Mafia 3. And then you had Mafia 2 come out, which is a better version. And now you have Mafia 3. Sorry, now you have the original, like definitive edition, which they built from the ground up. So the game is pretty jank, even after the restoration. But... Mm. It's only nice. $40, and the story is compelling enough for me to continue going forward with it.
Okay.
So, like, it's, I wouldn't even akin it to Grand Theft Auto, because every mission is, like, you have the open city, but every mission is just so linear from point A to point B, and once you get there, that's the end of it. Like, there's no real exploration in this game.
Well, I mean, that's the design of the times.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's very close circuit. It's a very close circuit Grand Theft Auto with like a period piece.
How many characters are named Fat Tony?
Not too many. I know that. I mean, there's a few Antonios and stuff like that, but no one's been given a specific moniker. But it is very much like Goodfellas, Casino, Godfather, and you know, like the character, like, it's pretty stereotypical, but something I can buy into going forward. I'm very interested in seeing the end of the story, even though I know it's going to end in betrayal and death and stuff, like most Mafia stories.
Yeah.
But that's what I've been playing.
All right. Well, That's what we've been playing. And before we go any further, we're going to have a word from our sponsor.
WAP, Wet Ass Potatoes.
Yeah. Sponsor us, nigga.
Hey, everybody. Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best last news, reviews, and all things video games? Then we need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, share it with your friends, your family, frenemies, people down the street. Every little bit helps. To see what we're up to throughout the week, follow us on either Facebook and Instagram at PressX2Start, on Twitter at PressX2S, and on YouTube at PressX2StartTV. If you've done this, many thanks. You're one of the good ones.
And we're back. And now it's time for the Quick Hits.
All right. Number one, this comes from IGN. The Ultimate Edition of Spider-Man Miles Morales comes with a remastered version of Marvel's Spider-Man, but you won't be able to pick up where you left off on the PS4 from the PS4 version. So we had quite a conversation.
Well, I mean, who didn't finish the game, though? I mean,
that's the thing where so the remastered version of Marvel Spider-Man only comes with the Ultimate Edition of the Miles Morales Spider-Man game. Uh-huh. There's no physical copy of this or anything like that. It's just the digital code that you get for the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of those things where this needs to be probably talked about just a little bit more to just explain to us why there is such a difference between the PS4 well, and PS5
version. I don't think there's any true difference between games as like in terms of two products being a PS4 version, a PS5 version. The difficulty in translation occurs is between saves. You cannot migrate a PS4 save to a PS5.
Right.
Like that's right. Like that's the breaking point. Like you can't transfer your progress over.
Or at least for the remastered version.
Right. And I think it's that thing where it's just like, it's one thing for them to tell us that we can't do that, but, you know, give us a reason.
But this is Miles too, right? I can't take my Miles progress on my PS5.
The Miles you can, though.
Did they specify
that's
that?
Yeah, I think they did. Because
I don't think that's the case.
You can upgrade from PS4 to PS5 version.
Yeah, you can upgrade, but I'm talking about transferring your progress.
We argued about this, listeners, for a good week.
We did.
Like transferring your save progress, where you were, if all the bullshit collectibles you go through and all that stuff, will that carry over? I mean, it probably won't matter if you already have a trophy for it. So, I mean, I don't know. It's fucking...
Well, there's going to be another trophy associated with the remastered Marvel Spider-Man edition. So, if y'all want to get another easy plat, then there you go.
Yeah.
Number two, speaking of murdering people, Among Us 2 has been canceled, but don't worry because the developers will be focusing on Among Us 1.
So, as our, you know, limited research, because I'm sure a lot of people are just hearing about this game and thinking, damn, they're already planning part two, but
like me,
Marcus found out that the first one actually came out in 2018,
which is just bonkers.
But the reason they were planning a second one is because they had a bunch of add-ons and features they wanted to implement, but the source code and the engine that they use would not, you know, allow for it.
Like I was definitely expecting this joint to end up on like a bunch of end of the year lists for the game of the year, and then I find out it's a old game that people just discovered.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Microsoft. Microsoft is going to be sprinkled throughout our episode today because they have been making some moves, guys. Some really
this is for you,
moves.
Jordan.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be for y'all, too. Just pay $15 a month and y'all be all
right. Hey.
I'm good.
All right. Well, don't.
Damn.
I don't go fuck. I don't care. I'm doing good.
I don't care.
I'll go hit a pirate bay out of work.
Yeah. Get those viruses, my guy.
All right, speaking of virus, no, never mind. Number three, this comes from comicbook.com.
Coronavirus.
Microsoft Xbox teams up with Funimation for Premiere Plus promotion. So Microsoft fans who currently are part of Game Pass Ultimate deal will now get 2 free months of Funimation subscribers plan, which is really cool.
There's a new anime that's coming out on Funimation that people are excited about. I forgot the name of it, but Funimation is releasing something.
It's called big titty anime girls 23.
Sir, we have lady listeners. Control yourself. Yeah,
come on. I'm sorry.
Right?
Big titty anime men.
Oh no, I got it.
Nailed
it. It's the sequel to Inuyasha. That's coming out.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah,
ew. Ew. Inuyasha's the worst.
Man, it was big at one time. I mean, I'm not watching it, but it was big at one time.
You know it's real when the audio engineer in our group blows out the audio.
I know, right?
I'm sorry. I hate Inuyasha. You want to watch us chase Naraku for 250 episodes?
What was One Piece's threshold? What were they doing at sea the whole time?
I don't know.
Speaking of One Piece, number four, this comes from Marvelous Maku Twitter. From the Final Fantasy 16 stream, this is actually doesn't do anything with One Piece. I just wanted to move on. They're already well aware about the comments about Final Fantasy 16's graphics.
That y'all ugly.
Graphics are obviously, are obviously not finalized, Marcus. They're still working on it. Wanted to show footage representing the actual game instead of the usual type of reveal that is not, and basically CG reveal trailers that we're so used to seeing.
I didn't see anything wrong with the graphics.
I didn't either, Marcus.
I saw something wrong with the game. It exists.
Maybe it was the faces, to be honest.
That's why your beard don't connect. Next story.
It does, though. It does.
But the listeners will never know. Next up, number five. This comes from GameSpot. Mass Effect Trilogy Remastered reportedly coming next year.
What is this game even supposed to be?
Good question. The rumored Mass Effect Trilogy Remastered bundle, supposedly known as the Mass Effect Legendary Edition, will launch early 2021 instead of October. I didn't answer your question. Number six, comicbook.com.
I mean, like, there is a possibility of two ways of it going forward. You have a total remake, then building one from the bottom up, using Andromeda type gameplay and assets, or you have an up-res, which I said before, it just doesn't make sense seeing that the up-res kind of already exists.
It does, yeah.
So it's like, I mean, there's no trailers, Casey Hudson's not saying anything, none of the subreddits are saying anything, it's just kind of in the air right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird, because from what we know, BioWare is working on Anthem 2.0 or whatever.
Yeah, we don't know what BioWare is doing.
Hey, you laugh, but that's what they're working
on. No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky is actually doing pretty well right now. Thank you, Marcus.
Yeah, actually it is.
Are any of y'all niggas playing it? Exactly.
DJ, if you get a Game Pass, you also have access to No Man's Sky and its DLC.
Well, I have access to that because I bought the game.
Like an idiot.
Never trust this man's judgment on this podcast.
Anyways, number six. Speaking of judgment, this comes from comicbook.com. This is not what I thought it was. Anyways, Amazon warns of big Xbox Series X pre-order issue. Amazon is sending customers, aka Jordan, pre-order the Xbox Series X as a warning, letting them know that they may not receive the item on the day of release. Jordan,
they
how do you
said
feel
the
about this?
Same thing about PS5, though, so it's not.
Yeah, no, like it's both. And here's my response.
Here we go.
I'm gonna get mine.
Jordan, you gonna pull up to the Amazon hub on Hollywood in Baltimore? You gonna go knock it on the the door?
We didn't gotta go into it. I'm gonna get mine.
Pull up.
Next story.
Out, air out. Made it look sexy.
Yo, Jordan replied to the no reply email like, I'm gonna get mine.
they're at their computer like, should we be scared?
Can he do this?
But it's like, okay, so I real quick, I thought about it, and it's like, so this is a problem either Amazon's being the utmost front about, or other distributors are being mad quiet about that are not directly Sony or Microsoft, because they're all getting it from the same trough.
As an Amazon Prime user, I think that because this is coming from Amazon, it's probably due to coronavirus in demand because they've been having trouble distributing in demand things this entire year. Like, I pre-ordered Last of Us 2 through Amazon and I never got it.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
what do you mean it's never came to your house?
Well, I hope you enjoy it when you get it.
wait.
I know,
wait.
I'm still waiting to play it.
So wait,
no, but yeah,
when you were tracking it, it's still in transit?
Yeah.
That's so weird. Oh, damn.
In transit to someone else's house.
Right? So I think because it's from Amazon, it's an Amazon problem.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, like, well, my Amazon purchases have been okay this year. Like, I haven't had too many problems with ones that can't, like, come to my house directly. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Right.
I'm so for the best, and, you know, so.
Okay. So, speaking of Amazon, this comes from The Verge. Amazon's Luna Cloud Gaming Service sounds an awful like the cable of video games. So, Amazon just kind of stealth dropped this new gaming service that they are throwing out. And I don't know how I feel about this because it's one of those things. So Ubisoft is going to partner with them and give you access to some of their content as well. Amazon's going to do this whole channel thing. Mm-hmm. So like you can basically like as they say, like the cable of video games, you can basically go to different channels and watch games. I gotta tell you, I didn't really put too much thought into this thing. Like,
so YouTube?
Kind of, yeah. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with it because I kind of feel like this might be one of those things where, yeah, this is gonna come out and then they just kind of push it back into space.
Oblivion.
And we never actually see it. But you get a cool controller though, so that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, next up. This comes from Kotaku, number 8. Games on Xbox One external drives will be instantly playable on Xbox Series X and S. So, Xbox Director of Program Management, Jason Ronald. Hey, Ronald, my brother's name Ronald. Haha, cool.
Ronald and Donald.
You had the joke. And you just completely flubbed it, Marcus. I am ashamed of you.
It's called a subversion of expectations, DJ.
I can't even spell expectations. Anyway. Ronald says, it's all plug and play. It is easy as unplugging your existing external USB 3.1 HDD or SSD drive.
It's a lot of
letters.
He didn't
say drive, but yeah, it is. Anyways, yeah. From your Xbox One, connecting to your Xbox X or Series X, or Xbox Series X or S, whatever. And your games are instantly available. This is cool. I mean, I don't know. I didn't really need to read all this, but it's cool. It's just great to see that there is plug-and-play features happening between the Xbox One and the Xbox Series X/S.
Right.
Yeah, I have a 4 terabyte Seagate hard drive that I currently use for my Xbox One, because I did look this up immediately after I pre-ordered my Xbox Series X to make sure that there's like any type of wear stipulations or like what version of Seagate that I would need or something like that. But yeah, based on it, it just seems very clear that a lot of the hardware within the Xbox Series X is very compatible with the Xbox One. So it's like an easy transition. I have too many games to be worrying about putting that on my Series X, which only has 1 terabyte. I have more than 1 terabyte of video games on my Seagate right now. So.
Ooh. Well, speaking of Seagates and terabytes, this comes from The Verge. Microsoft's Series X 1 terabyte expandable storage drive device is priced at $219.99.
This is ridiculous.
Because it's SSD. It's an SSD hard drive.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, Papa.
But that's that's cool though. All right, next up, this comes from Real Sports 101. That's a weird,
as opposed to fake sports. Like
yeah, right.
Wrestling.
I feel offended. I'm not exactly sure why. Assassin's Creed Valhalla Xbox Game Pass. So basically there's a rumor that the next gen title is leaked. So wow, I completely flubbed that. Anyways. Xbox Game Pass might be getting Assassin's Creed Valhalla. This is really actually
that game was coming out.
Wow. Well, I was gonna say this is actually really cool, but if you're gonna be forgetting about stuff, then
I mean, you still checking for that game, DJ?
Nope, number 11.
I played the hell out of Odyssey. I mean, this is a strong get because it's like one of the very few AAA titles coming out this year on time.
AAA.
Oh yeah.
I will say that Assassin's Creed is AAA, but it's one of those weird things where
AAA minus.
Ooh. Ouch. Ouch. It's like I just don't know if the game is going to be up to snuff visually with anything around it other than Watch Dogs.
Well, that's what I'm trying to play on the Xbox Series X. I want to play it on 4K.
I'm saying even on next gen, I just don't feel confident that game's going to actually look as good as it should.
But I don't think that game's going to play as good as it should.
That's another thing, too.
You know, I think Ubisoft is doing what EA did back in, 2016, cannibalizing its titles, having two large open world games release within weeks of each other.
Yeah, and the worst part about it is Cyberpunk. Like, Cyberpunk is going to take up all of that air and
eat all that lunch.
Yeah, and it's weird that Ubisoft thinks that their titles are going to be able to survive the onslaught of Cyberpunk. But we'll see. They'll see. They'll learn. Number 11. This comes from Jeff Keighley's Twitter. Save the day, everyone, because the Game Awards is happening Thursday, December 10th, live from Los Angeles and London and Tokyo. So it's going to be coming from I don't exactly know how this is going to work because this is a digital event. And I'm guessing the stream will bounce between the three cities. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know.
And by Game Awards, we all know it means Trailer Awards.
Hell yeah. Can't wait for it.
I mean, it'll be interesting because, I mean, the new systems will be out and we're going to see stuff that wasn't announced already. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for all the trailers.
Yeah. All right,
I'm excited for the Magic the Gathering trailers. Go ahead.
Ooh. Right. Straight
can't
up.
Can't wait.
Those fake outs.
Well, that's and it now, for quick hits. Oh.
Yes, that was it for the quick hits. And now it's time for the heavy hitters. Take it away, Jordan.
Well, there was one major heavy hitter this week that kind of threw a wrench in most publishers, developers, manufacturers. Ninth generation plans, and it was Xbox, Microsoft, and their acquisition of ZeniMax, right? Is that the name of it?
ZeniMax Media.
ZeniMax Media. Right, and you know what? I'm sorry, Sean.
It's ZeniMax with a Z, like Zorro.
Yeah, ZeniMax. Okay.
So I was going to make a second comment on how they were able to make this work. But yeah, Microsoft had purchased ZeniMax, who is the parent company of Bethesda Games, for a whopping $7.6 billion cash.
My goodness.
Yes. Microsoft's overall liquidity, I mean, like, I think all their assets and liabilities added together equates to about $1.2 trillion. Just their assets and cash flow was about $430 billion. Sony's is $37 billion. I looked all that up before this, just to articulate the magnitude of what Microsoft is. Not Microsoft Game Division, but Microsoft as a corporation.
Yeah.
Right. So a lot of people were saying that, oh, you know, this is what Microsoft does before the entrance of a new console generation and stuff like that. No, the last time we did this was with Rare, going into Xbox 360 about a year after it was released, but no major additions in terms of buying up studios during Xbox One's first
Mojang.
Mojang. But like during early in Xbox One's life cycle, they became more aggressive in buying halfway through Xbox One's life cycle. Sorry, DJ.
They bought Mojang for $4.5 billion.
Yes, and Disney
bought which is crazy. That's for one fucking game.
Yeah.
Minecraft.
Yeah.
Disney bought Star Wars for $4 billion.
Yeah.
And they bought Marvel for like $900 million. So
that is just, man.
With this purchase, Microsoft would have control over Doom, Wolfenstein, Elder Scrolls. Who else we got here?
Dishonored. Elder Scrolls Online.
Fallout, Quake, Evil Within. And also, technically, even though Microsoft has agreed to play nice, Ghostwire Tokyo, which is going to be a PlayStation exclusive, and I believe, well, it's like a console exclusive, Death right? Like, does that come to PC, or is it going to be straight to PlayStation 4?
So, wait, real quick. I heard all those, I guess if you want to call it AAA games, but you're forgetting the really, really big AAA game that they're getting access to, which is AMF Bowling Pin Busters, boy.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, it is. I can't.
It's a wrap for Sony.
It's over for you rap niggas.
PlayStation.
So what? There's been two trains of thought about what this means for Bethesda games going forward, especially Elder Scrolls and Doom and Wolfenstein, like one of their main titles that have been doing very well. Elder Scrolls was mute during this console generation. Fallout 4 had a new edition, and then you had the remakes of Wolfenstein and Doom. One track.
Real quick. About Elder Scrolls, I will say that Elder Scrolls, the single player game, was mute, but they were putting their energies to Elder Scrolls Online. Like that was being supported, and they actually released a couple months ago, they released an update to their world or whatever.
So there's two trains of thought. Either Microsoft is going to gate lock it, and we're never going to see it, these games on a Sony platform, or B, Microsoft is going to have times, you know, second releases to all consoles, it being Fallout, it being Doom, it being Wolfenstein, or the new proper Elder Scrolls, or Skyrim 2. They want to make hella bank making a second Skyrim. I'm sorry, thing, DJ.
Oh, sorry. I just want to be helpful. Mm-hmm. But they did mention that in terms of exclusivities, they are keeping Deathloop's exclusive.
They're honoring Deathloop.
Yeah, honoring.
And,
yes.
And Tokyo.
And Ghostwire. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, and I just want to start the conversation right here for all of us.
Start it.
I'm gonna throw some numbers here. 15 million Game Pass subscribers. Mm-hmm. A range of profit with Game Pass and that volume yearly is between 1.8 billion and 2.7 billion. For Microsoft, if they played monthly, the $10, $15 among those 15 million.
Yeah.
You have a $300 Xbox Series S. Not as powerful as the Xbox X, nor as powerful as the all-digital PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. $7.6 billion. I don't think Microsoft is going to have these Bethesda titles on Sony paying that much for this property. A lot of people want to say like this extra income, but they're trying to get as in, like, it's not about buying an Xbox Series X, which would have been more aggressive if they just said this is only on Xbox Series X. I think it's, this is going to be on Game Pass. You play the shit on your PC, play it on your phone, or play it on our more accessible $300 basically Amazon Cube.
You know what? This makes the case for physical versus digital games, as I was saying before. If they so chose, they could pull off all the current digital versions of Doom, Fallout, Elder Scrolls, Wolfenstein, all that shit off of the PlayStation Store if they wanted.
This is true.
Yeah.
The same way they did with a PT demo and a couple other things.
Yeah.
That's true.
But yeah. I think Microsoft, because Phil Spencer said a case-by-case basis, I don't think they're going to... Like, that's a very aggressive move.
They could, though. That's what I'm saying. They
like
could.
They could, but then it's like, you know... I mean, Sony still has advanced market share of the video game space in terms of, like, units of their most latest console and households. They are way far along than the Xbox One could ever dream of.
Right.
But clearly, this is a reorienting of what Microsoft's philosophy is as a company. It's like, you know, however much money it takes to build an Xbox Series X, manufacturing, making a deal with vendors, all that other shit, it's a fucking headache. We want to become more streamlined and have this subscription service, which very much so is becoming the way of the world right now. You know, as we are being forced, innovated into a more online society due to this goddamn virus. You know, it's this is a crazy purchase. $7.6 billion is crazy as fuck.
Yeah.
like, okay, so we actually didn't mention the studios offhand who are being caught up in all this. So you have id Software, as you said, Doom, Arkane Studios, who has Dishonored. You have Machine Games, who has
Wolfenstein.
You have Tango Gameworks. You have Bethesda Game Studio. Then you have ZeniMax Online Studios. I think this is such a power play from Microsoft. And they dropped this the day before their pre-orders. And I think when it boils down to it, like, Microsoft is making a really good play in terms of marketing Game Pass and why you want Game Pass. Mm-hmm. And the weird thing about Bethesda is that, you know, we give them shit all the time for their buggy games and X, Y, and Z or whatever. But, like, they do have market share. If you think about it, they were one of the publishers who had a press conference at E3. Like, Microsoft just bought a press conference.
So, to add on to that, in regards to Bethesda's bugginess, that was venture capitalism. That is, if you remember, Nordic Games was bought by the same people that Mitt Romney had associated himself with. Remember THQ? THQ Nordic?
Oh, yeah,
They're basically owned by venture capitalists.
Yeah.
ZeniMax is mostly a venture capitalist type entity.
Right.
What had happened was Donald Trump's brother had died. He was one of the chief people at ZeniMax. He was like one of the chief, like, it's crazy. I don't think this was really planned. I think there was a plan B if it wasn't for Bethesda.
Yeah.
I think it could have easily been WB Games or Ubisoft or something. Like, it probably would have been a huge publisher.
Yeah.
But I don't think this was totally planned, to be honest. I think there are negotiations, but with the passing of Donald Trump's brother, who had a fair interest in ZeniMax as a company, they were able to get that foot in the door and start showing all the other shareholders money. Like, this is what you really want. You don't got to worry about him. He did.
Funny enough, I have never played a Bethesda game.
Really?
So, none of these games on this list I've ever played.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like, when I heard that they acquired Bethesda, I was of two minds. One, this is definitely a big get because it's one of the biggest, maybe not the most respected studios in the game, because it does get made fun of a lot, but it's definitely one of the biggest studios in the game. And then two, literally the only game that I'd be missing is Wolfenstein. Every one of the other Bethesda games is right in the not my cup of tea bowl.
I would recommend, well, I don't know about you, Marcus, but Sean, I'd recommend you play Dishonored. Dishonored's a really good game.
I think I own it, and I just don't care. I got it for free. I don't care.
I would recommend the Doom game. I think Doom came out right.
Oh, right, Doom. Doom, right. My bad.
Doom came out right near your game, DJ. Village People.
The Village
People. What's it called? Animal Crossing.
Oh, oh my gosh. God.
Oh, yeah, it did.
I just want to call Village.
Oh, yeah.
So...
The Village People. You know, Animal Crossing.
Doom Eternal got like a 9 out of 10. Like, there's some bangers under their wheelhouse, especially with the Elder Scrolls games.
Yeah. I think what's going to come down to, like, you know, as Phil Spencer said, it's going to be a case-by-case scenario. But I think what that means is that you got Ghostwire, you got Deathloop. Those are two cases. But then I literally can see, because, like, the next Skyrim... Our next Elder Scrolls isn't coming out for another, like, maybe 2 years or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And it's still going to be buggy when it gets dropped.
No.
That's another thing, too. Like, now that Microsoft is behind
it's the quality
Bethesda,
control now.
Making
it's the
sure the quality control is there, like, we might actually get a well-polished game from Bethesda. Yeah. And that could be massive.
I see it.
There were members in Bethesda, like, actual game programmers that said, we fucking need this new thing. We need like this new, we need X amount of money for this engine. And the venture capitalists are like, but people liked Fallout 3. Why
do you need extra money?
Why do you need money for more assets? Why don't you just use those assets and those animations?
Yeah.
But we want to make a better game. Well,
do you need to though?
Based on our calculations, I think we'll make the same amount of money back selling the same shit over again. That's why there was contention between id and Bethesda for a second, because id was trying to do their own thing, making sure Doom was working well as they were coming in trying to say, we're not trying to give you money and shit like that. So this is not the first time for a Microsoft-produced game to come out on PlayStation. The first, I mean, based on my memory, Mass Effect 1 was, in fact, published by Microsoft Game Studios. Yeah, their logo is on that game. Yep. So, you know, it's weird times, but like you don't play $7 billion to
that's true
not have some type of exclusivity with your ecosystem.
Right.
You are not wrong.
All right. Now, the biggest news of the episode.
Really?
We actually didn't know that this huge thing dropped, guys. The Tokyo Game Show happened, and let me tell you, there was some there was some things that happened, guys.
What type of things?
Game things. Game things and anime things. Oh, but mainly game things. All right. It's a long list. We're not going to get through it. If you really want to see the bangers that they dropped, like the absolute bangers that they dropped, I suggest that you go onto, we went to IGN and they have a list of it. So the first thing.
It'd be a shame if you didn't understand sarcasm.
It would be a real shame. The first thing, Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. So this is the Switch title that is basically Zelda. I'm sorry. Yes, Zelda. I was not wrong. With Dynasty Warriors.
Yep.
Like
I didn't finish the first one.
Yeah. Well, they're a lot. I don't know. I had no joke for it. Anyways. So they showed that the main thing about that that's of interest to us is that, where is it? Okay, players who have Breath of the Wild save will unlock a special wooden training sword, guys. You get a wooden sword to fight the...
Amazing.
Yeah. And those in Japan will be able to purchase a special edition of the game, which includes a small metal charm of the mysterious white robot. I thought I said wild. It's white robot.
Yep.
And a full-size... Parasol blanket? What does that even look like?
It's a blanket with a parasol on it.
You're right. The next thing they showed was from Monster Hunter Rise. They showed gameplay that showed new ability, combat, and dog companions. Mainly the dog companions. I plan on getting this game. I saw the dog companion and I was like, I'm definitely getting this game. So that's dope.
That's a good reason to get it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what game is this?
Monster Hunter Rise.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. The next thing is... Near Replica version.
Replicant.
Oh, you're right. Near Replicant version 1. I'm not going to read the numbers because it's a stupid title. It's dumb. I don't know what the fuck they were thinking. Dumb.
It's a very Japanese title, my guy. Don't get upset.
Well, they got the internet and they need to stop.
That title came from Tetsuya Nomura.
Anyways, an upgraded version of the 2010 Japanese RPG will be released for PS4, Xbox One, and PC via Steam. Oh, PC via Steam on April 23rd, 2021. Cool. The next near thing is because people love to look up skirts of the main characters.
The thing is, it's not even Nier Automata. It's just
the first
Nier Replicant.
The first one.
Yeah. Oh, it's the first one.
Yeah, yeah, but it's releasing April. And it's not releasing for PS5 and Xbox Series X. That's why I said why.
Yeah.
They're like, we can only upgrade this so much.
We got one more in the tank. The next game is Nier Reincarnation. It's a 3D and 2D mobile game. Anything. Anyways, Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires have been announced for PS5, Xbox Series X.
Wait, I thought we already were talking about Dynasty Warriors.
We were. But they... They got so mad that Zelda was getting all the credit. They're like, fuck it. We're about to drop this shit. And they dropped it, and it looked like shit. Anyways, next up. So they mentioned that Cyberpunk 2077 had shown something there. So I was like, oh, shit, let me check it out. And it was just the same video from their Night City Wire. Yeah. And I was like,
it's Dire Straits.
Yeah, I was like, what is this?
Well, I mean, everybody probably didn't watch tonight. City Wire things, because that's like its own separate thing, so.
I mean, I guess, but it was just weird. Anyways, Capcom. Capcom's up, guys. Capcom isn't making any commitments, but they are thinking about whether or not, you know, Resident Evil Village will be able to, will work for next-gen consoles. What? They're basically, what?
I mean, that doesn't make sense. It's It's coming out on Series X and PlayStation 5.
Oh, you know what? I misread. They're thinking about bringing it to Xbox One and PS4. Not in the next consoles. So they'll definitely,
But they're not making any commitments. The new game can't work on the old consoles.
Yeah. Gotcha. And then also, Resident Evil will focus more on exploration. Basically, having players experiment and figure out, you know, what works for them. Anyways, the real Resident Evil news is that Resident Evil Infinite Darkness is a Netflix show. It's an episodic CGI show. It looks cool. Check it. It's awesome.
That's the second of the Resident Evil shows that will be coming to Netflix next year.
Hmm. There's another one? What's the other one?
A live action?
It's a live action show about Wesker's daughters.
Mm-hmm. What?
I thought the CGI one was a live action one, but it's not making a live. Nope. Is a live action one in any ways tied with the CGI one?
Who knows?
I doubt it. But you was know Wesker's what?
I'm
daughters
happy that Capcom yep. is?
I don't even
investing heavily into their
ecosystem,
Resident Evil franchise, and hopefully starting like a new universe because like, they kind of redid 2 and 3. In a way, or like, well, I mean, like the remake or some bringing it back to the forefront and having a more cohesive story with the most recent games. What I do appreciate about what they're doing.
Speaking about what they're doing, Devil May Cry 3, Virgil has previously confirmed as playable character.
It's Devil May Cry 5.
Is it 3?
You 5? Idiot.
What did I say? I say it doesn't matter. They're all the fucking same game, Mark.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Sounds so to angry. Me like someone who's never played a good game in their entire life.
You mean DJ. Playing Last of Us 2.
Like, there's a reason why someone didn't give DJ an email. They're like, this nigga plays fucking gun all day.
Send him a PS3. It works on there.
Like, you know, we don't want him buying a PS5 just to play Gundam on it. Get the fuck out of here.
Hey, DJ, if they come knock on your door and take your PS4, don't be mad.
Anyways, next up. Oh, yeah, Devil May Cry 5. You know, if you care, Marcus. Virgil was previously confirmed as playable for Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition. Virgil? What'd I say?
You're fine.
It doesn't fucking matter what I said.
Oh, my God.
I'm just going to move on. You know what it is. Yeah. Virgil is going to be on the game. So
they showed this at the PlayStation 5 reveal. So it's literally just reiterating the same thing.
Yeah. There was Kingdom Hearts news, but no one cares. Scarlet. No, seriously, there's like a game that Kingdom Hearts is doing, but you know, it's canon, so.
And exactly, because everything in Kingdom Hearts is canon.
It's called Kingdom Hearts Melody of a Memory, right? Is that going to be a full DLC or like a brand new game?
It's a mobile game.
It'll be a playable demo that has huge ramifications on the future of the game and how Ansem has
picked up
taken
a guitar.
Away Sora's memories.
Cool.
Whatever.
Yeah. So next up, Scarlet Nexus receives a new story trailer at Tokyo Game Show 2020, and it showcased protagonist.
Go ahead.
Yutio.
Nope.
No. Yeah. It's.
Yuito.
Yuito. Oh yeah, I was there.
Sumeragi.
There you go. And Weeboo. Kasane.
Randall.
What the fuck? And basically they'll have two divergent
story
paths. One of
those two was adopted.
Yeah, okay. So, damn, that just completely ruined my whole train of thought. All right, Level 5 and developer Netmarble shows off first gameplay of their upcoming mobile RPG, Ni No Kuni Cross Worlds.
Ni No Kunai with Chain.
Oh shit, nice. All right, Microsoft. What I tell you, Microsoft coming back. Microsoft has already reduced the price of the yet to be released Xbox Series X by about $28 in Japan.
Man, the demand there is just—I mean, yeah, you know, Japan has like no allegiance to any type of Microsoft product. Japan, so they had to reduce it.
Japan doesn't give a fuck about Xbox.
The only people buying, you know, this is helpful for. Our brave military members stationed over in Japan who want an Xbox Series S. Yeah. That's all who's buying Microsoft over there.
So for real, a lot of people, and this is adjacent to this story, a lot of people thought Microsoft was going to buy Sega, like as a power purchase.
And, people were linking the blue controller that they put out.
As, I mean, Sega was way more cheaper than Bethesda.
It would definitely be cheaper.
Get that Sonic.
I bought Sega for a nickel and some pocket lint.
Mm-hmm. If they bought Sega, I would be worried for Microsoft because they just wasted their money.
I think Capcom would have been a better purchase.
Yeah, because it's doing good.
Yes.
You know what? If they bought Sega, I'd have to buy an Xbox because, no, you know what? They don't own Bayonetta. Never mind.
I was about to be like, boy.
If they had Bayonetta, I might just have to.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, they did that. So, Microsoft Flight Simulator will get a Japan World update, and all the users will be able to download it for free on September 29th, which is 2 days from the day of recording. Aha, dated us. This update will enhance the game's coverage of Japan thanks to digital
elevation.
There you go. Almost, I wanted to say evolution for some reason. Digital elevation mapping the entire country, which is interesting because... What is there now? Is it just smooth? Like
pixels? Is
it just water? Like it's pixelated? Is it pixelated?
Everything looks like a porn.
Oh shit! Oh, that's funny. Oh man! All right, IGN was proud to exclusively reveal a new trailer for The Medium, which revealed more about the upcoming next gen horror game. I actually saw it. It looks bizarre. They talk about the story and helps introduce two of the key characters. I gotta burp. The mysterious Sadness and Troy Baker's antagonist, The Maul.
My boy Troy Baker getting more work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing, right? When I saw the trailer, I guess the little girl is the Sadness. Yeah. Okay.
That makes sense for horror movie tropes.
Yeah. So it's just little girl with one arm, looked like the other arm was bitten off. She has a doll face mask on and she's talking to the main character, telling her like the creature ate all the other ones and like you gotta go and it's scary. And then you kind of hear Troy Baker giving his best like monster voice. It's kind of cool.
The Maw is short for Grandma.
Oh shit. She just pinch your cheeks to death.
Would you like a Werther's?
And the last thing that was on their list is Gigabash.
Who?
So, yeah, this is one of those things where it's like, oh, this is a cool concept. So it's a B-movie styled four-player arena brawler in which giant kaiju monsters and ranger, basically Power Ranger looking heroes battle out in like a giant city, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking like, oh shit, that sounds awesome. And then I watched the video and it's like, oh shit, that's not how I expected this to work. And it's basically a single screen, like kind of top down isometric view of a city. And you have the four players. And it's just like, even in the trailer that they showed, there was two people fighting on the top of the screen, two people fighting on the bottom of the screen. You can barely see the people fighting on top of the screen. Mm. And it's like, does everyone get the same camera view? And if that's the case, then they can't watch themselves fight. It's just like, what is this? Who does this? But it looks like one of those, you know, smaller games that they just needed to fill the space. But yeah, that's
I'm gonna
pretty
laugh
much
if that's what they closed the show with.
Well, that was the last thing that was shown. I'm not sure if that's what they closed the show with. I really hope not, because that is legitimately a semi-wet fart. And yeah, not good.
But that's what we're gonna close this show with.
Yes, we will. So this has been a wonderful episode of the award-winning Press X to Start podcast. We hope that you enjoy.
They gonna take away our award. Get it together.
Oh, you're right. Semi-wet farts. In case you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressxnumber2start.com. Until next time, where I will be giving a review in progress of Genshin Impact, because that is coming out tomorrow. It is a free-to-play.
I actually just downloaded it on my phone.
How the fuck? I'm tired of you and technology, Sean.
Uno out.